attorney. Just give him a call.
This is Ask an Attorney, all about Ask Florida law attorney. With attorney Joe Pippin. If you have a legal question, call Joe right now in Tampa. Call 813-287-5700. Anywhere else, toll free at 877-943-9673. That's 877-943-9673. The law office is open. And now your host, Joe Pippin.
Hey, good morning. Welcome to Ask an Attorney, all about Florida law. I'm attorney Joe Pippin, practicing attorney. You're listening to a live radio show. 877 is your toll-free number where you can call in and ask legal questions. A question can be just about anything. It can be about wills, trust, probate, guardianship, family law, personal injury. It can be about real estate law, traffic law. If you have a question of any type, something you're worried about, something you'd like to know more about, you have a toll-free number, 877-943-9673. That's 877-943-9673. You could be located anywhere in the United States. That's a good number for you. I only practice law in Florida, though. I'm only licensed in Florida. So if you have a legal question, you would get the Florida answer. So likely very similar. It'd be very similar to your state. But if you're calling from another state, just know I'm only licensed in Florida, can only give Florida advice. So the answer would be given in that manner. Again, I'm attorney Joe Pippin, been host of Ask an Attorney all about Florida law now for 35 years, the longest running show in Florida, maybe close to the top 10 in the nation. Who knows? I don't really know if that's true or not, but I know in Florida, I have the longest running continual show in Florida. I don't think anyone has been on an air with the same host, same format, same type of show continually for that long, and I'm happy to be here. Continue to keep being here as long as I can and just help as many people as I possibly can is my goal. So if you have something you're worried about, maybe something you couldn't sleep very well last night, just kept coming on your mind, maybe somebody's not treating you properly, maybe you're wondering about your legal rights, something's happening and you'd like to know more information or maybe even have some representation, call and ask about it. That's what we're here for. You have a toll-free number, 877-943-9673. So I'd like to tell you that we're broadcasting today from Jacksonville. We broadcast either from Tampa or Jacksonville. The show goes out to about 15 stations around Florida. And wherever you're listening, today is November the 2nd. Happy November. If you're listening on November the 2nd, you're listening to a live show. I'd say probably more than 95% of our shows are live shows. Once in a while, I'll have a good reason where I cannot be here. I was not here a couple weekends ago because of my college reunion weekend. So it's always fun to go back to those. And the city I was in, Blacksburg, Virginia, didn't have a suitable radio station for me to go into that I could find where I could do my show. But anyway, I'm here today, and if you have a legal question, you're listening on WBOB, where I'm broadcasting from in Jacksonville. Today, you're also listening on the Salem network of stations, 570, 910, 860, 930, or the AM dials. So you have some FM components to those stations as well. You're listening to a Sun City Center Community Station, 96.3 perhaps. You're listening to WLVF, that's 90.3 FM, coming out of Haines City, Florida, covers a lot of Central Florida. You're listening to a radio station there in Crystal River area. And we are more than glad to be here today, and if you have a legal question, I'm here to help. Again, you have a toll-free number, 877-943-9673. Phone lines are open. You also can watch the show today. We're streaming live now on Facebook Live. So you would just go to, we have three pages there on Facebook. Close to 20,000 people on those three pages could possibly be watching the show as well as listening. And you could just go to Joseph Pippin And you could catch it on a live stream right now. We also have the law offices of Joseph Pippin, and we also have an Ask an Attorney page. What we do is we stream it on, I think, just my personal page, and then we transfer it over later to the Ask an Attorney in the law offices page. We share it, I guess is what you're calling. We just started that not too long ago, so I haven't quite figured out how to stream all three at once, but we're working on that as well. And also, we're not streaming live on WeBeam TV, but we do that every other week. And they have a network of shows, and we're on the network, so they have shows saved on the network of Ask an Attorney, all about Florida law. All right, so we're waiting for that first call. If you have a question for me, be more than glad to help. 877-943-9673. That's 877. Phone lines are open. 943-9673. A lot of our questions pertain to estate planning. Probably the most often asked question I've gotten over the years is, is my out-of-state will good in Florida? I saw a will prepared the other day. A client actually showed it to me on their phone because they couldn't find the original. Husband and wife did a joint will. Now, I never prepare joint wills for clients. So each client would have a separate will, but this was a joint will. It wasn't even witnessed, so it really wasn't even a valid will. And now the gentleman came in, his wife had died, and there was a retirement account of all things that was just in her name with no beneficiary. Well, that would have to go through probate. We'll talk a little bit more about that and what happens in a case like that shortly. Let's go to our first caller, Chris. Chris, where are you calling from?
Calling from Batson Park, Florida.
Okay.
Yes, sir. I have a question. I have some horses, and we finally bought a place to live and be able to keep our horses on the property where we live at. And our homeowner's insurance made us sign a waiver saying that if anybody got hurt, injured, or killed with the horses, that they would not be held liable. And they said if we didn't sign this waiver, that they would drop our insurance.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I know there's a Florida law. I'm not sure about this, the equestrian law for Florida activities with horses and that.
Yes, sir.
That I know signs that you have to put up, and does that prevent you from getting sued, or is there loopholes through that also?
All right, so do you offer rides to people, or are you worried about the horses escaping and hurting someone on the road, or cars in an accident?
We don't do rides or anything of that nature, but we do have friends that like to ride the horses with us. So, or our neighbors, you know, would like to ride, but we're afraid of getting sued if they get hurt.
You could get each individual that rides a horse sign a waiver or release that they were responsible for their own medical care if they do get hurt.
Oh, okay.
Because you know, I've been on a few horses before, and you know, the horse decides to stop and eat something. Or they duck their head way down. You know, I was on a horse one time. I was on a horse one time, and the horse decided to stop and eat something off the ground. So his head was pointed way down, and I'm up on a horse. So I kind of kicked the horse a little bit, you know, on both sides. That's not kicking, but, you know, how your feet come in to try to get him up, pull on the reins. Well, the horse decided to take off. Yeah. So, and then my feet weren't even in the stirrups, and I was kind of bouncing all around. So, I know how horses, I think that's the last time I rode a horse.
Really? I've had that happen to me, too. I've had one take off on me and not ready for it, just wanting to catch up with the other horses.
Yeah, exactly. You know? I mean, wife and somebody that was riding with us, and they go on up above, they're kind of trotting along, and my horse decides to stop. So, you know, I want to catch up to him. So I give the horse a little, pull on the reins a little bit, and clap my feet into him a little bit, trying to get him his attention, getting him moving. Then all he decides to take off. So they had a good right. laugh though, because I was running toward them, flopping all over the place. So
yes,
I didn't fall off
that's
though.
Not that
I didn't fall
right,
off.
Right, thank though. God for that.
Yeah.
Yes.
But anyway, so, I would just get each individual. I mean, there might be some insurance companies that would cover something like that. Maybe not someone that would mm-hmm. be normally just insure your home. Or in cars and right. those type of policies, but there is some other type of an insurance you can get, and you might be able to get okay. an umbrella policy. But you can shop around for insurance. But meanwhile, I just get everybody to sign a waiver that they accept responsibility for. They understand the risk and danger of riding the horse, and they accept all the liability and personal injury. They'll take care of themselves. Type of a document.
Oh, okay. So that would release us from any. Responsibility then.
Yeah, you know, sometimes people will tell you, well, this horse is a mild-mannered horse, and this one is a little energetic, and this one's young and wild, and you kind of give them a little disclaimer going in, I would hope.
Right, exactly. Give them heads up before they even get on the horse.
Yeah, I would probably only like now, this. If I ever got back on a horse, it'd be a grandfather or a grandmother horse, you know, would be.
Well, yes, that's what we ride. We trail right. ride, and yeah. That's what we love to do. Just go nice and slow and enjoy the scenery.
There you go.
So, all right.
All right, Chris, thanks for calling.
Sign the release form.
Yeah, you should. You should be fine.
Thank you very much.
All right.
Thank you. God bless.
God bless you. Mm-hmm. Let's go to Woody in Bradenton. Hey, Woody, are you there?
Yeah, I'm there. How you doing, guy?
Doing good, and you?
Laughing. I'm laughing my butt off. You're like a horse, really? A grandfather horse? I'm like, what? You know? It's funny. I love that. My question is, okay, well, it is a question. So I was on my bicycle and I got run over and hit by a car the other day.
Oh my goodness.
I'm not feeling good.
Do you know the name? Did the person stop?
Yeah, he stopped. He's nice. He's nice enough, but he hit me with a Lincoln. He's nice enough. He stopped. He was up. I was in the crosswalk. I had the right of way. He's making a right on red, which he wasn't looking to the right. You should look to the right.
Yeah.
And he.
Well, did you go to the hospital?
This is the second time. The first time was way back in 1996, which I'm disabled with. I'm disabled about now, my whole body's hurting and everything. So I'm talking to my friends, my family, my children, my sons. They all you dad, you better get an attorney.
Yeah, well, I would think I would echo that. I think you probably need an attorney to see what.
Well, after Geico, after representatives from his insurance company, Geico stopped and knocked on my door. Yes, I did. I called Catania,
mm-hmm.
and stuff. But that's the situation. I just woke up not too long ago. Had these guys on the radio, which is funny. A granddaddy horse.
Well, let me ask you this. So did you sign up with the law firm?
Well, I called them, and I didn't actually sign anything, okay, in writing or nothing. But, yeah, I told them on through the phone and everything. I want to be represented by you.
Yeah. All right. Well, what they'll do is they will probably have a meeting to look at your case and decide whether they think you have a case. And then if they think you do, then they'll get you to sign a fee agreement as to what goes on next. And then they'll take it from there. That's what most law firms would do.
Yeah, I know. It's like I said, I've been through it before. It just ain't good. I mean, I was coming from Burger King and I had a bag of food in my Burger King bag. Next thing I know, I'm laying in the middle of Tammy and Bell.
All right.
And, yeah.
Well, if you have any other questions about it, feel free to give me a call. I do have that. If that doesn't work for any reason, I don't do personal injury myself, and my firm doesn't. But I have someone that I refer those cases to. So if you need a second opinion on anything or a further question, give me a call.
I will. Thank you, sir.
All right,
and you know what?
What?
Keeping grandfather horses away.
All right. All right. Thanks, Woody.
Okay, thank
all right.
You. Bye-bye.
Hey, phone lines are open. If you have a legal question, all you have to do is call. Phone lines are open at 877-943-9673. 877-943-9673. Phone lines are open. I tell you, the horse that I got on that time was a huge horse. I mean, you almost needed a small ladder to get up on the thing. But anyway. If you get injured in any way, you certainly have some rights sometimes, and you definitely need representation. And a lot of times, like on car accidents, you need to get to the hospital right away within 15 days and maybe have x-rays and things like that. Particularly, a lot of these injuries, they tease about whiplash, you know, in car accidents, thinking that but that's a serious thing, really. And a lot of people, your bones don't start to do things and pains don't show up right away. You really need to, if you have a car accident, to be x-rayed pretty quickly, I think. And, you know, there's going to be inflammation and all that kind of things that show up and possible injuries. And a lot of times they don't happen until later. Sometimes these personal injury attorneys would encourage you to slow down a little bit on following the claim. Let's see what happens and how things develop. And so... But definitely you need to probably have an attorney in there, because an attorney is going to do better in getting the maximum amount from insurance companies. Hey, I'm Attorney Joe Pippin, Ask an Attorney All About Florida Law is the name of the show. Been host of that for 35 years now and answered many, many questions along the way. So maybe I can help you. Maybe it's something you're worried about, something that's bothering you, somebody's not treating you right. I had a person come in this past week, and basically their problem was, here's the thing. When a person, when a parent has a will, and the will says leaves everything to two children equally, let's say two sisters equally, because this was kind of what was being asked of me the other day. And one, after the parent dies, one sister doesn't really receive very much, and is only made aware of one or two accounts. When the sister and the person who's in front of me knows that the parent had a lot more than that in assets, so they're wondering why they haven't gotten more and why her sister won't tell her anything. I said, well, listen, here's what happens. The estate only comprises of what's in the deceased person's name. So let's say that mother put your sister, your sibling's name on the accounts, or made your sister a co-owner, like mother or daughter, or made the sister a beneficiary. She doesn't have to tell you any of that. She's only going to tell you what mother has just in her name that doesn't have a beneficiary, that doesn't have a co-owner. That's all she's entitled to tell you. All right, that's all she has to tell you. She doesn't have to share with you joint accounts. She doesn't, that mother put her name on the account. I said, was mother competent during her last years? She says, no. I said, well, your course of action would be to hire an attorney to prove that because then you can get your sister in a deposition, and then your sister will have to present the accounts. And then your sister, well, then you can discover when sister's name went on those accounts. And if mother was incompetent during the time that these accounts all changed to joint ownership between mother and your sister, then you have a really strong case of undue influence. And then maybe some of this can be overturned. But those type of cases aren't inexpensive to pursue all that. You have to take depositions, you have to hunt, you have to discover, you have to make the person produce documents, you have to apply the pressure to prove what happened was improper. So I had a discussion like that with a client this week. All right, phone lines are open. Hey, if you have a legal question, something that's bothering you, you have a toll-free number, 877-943-9673. That's 877-943-9673. And if you have a legal question of any type, hey, I'm here to help. Would like to share what I know with you to get you pointed in the right direction, maybe give you a little peace of mind. And that's what the show is all about, 877-943-9673. If you would like to have our, we have a big poster sheet on estate planning. It's a large double-sided sheet. On one side, it has five articles about estate planning, articles about like what your options are, talking about the pluses and minuses of your options, articles about the cost of probate. We have diagrams of what a trust looks like and how to put assets in the trust and the name of the accounts that you would put in the trust. We have other articles on estate planning on the front side of the poster sheet. On the back side of the poster sheet, we have all of our offices and phone numbers in the state of Florida. We have information about our website, the radio shows, the attorneys, the offices, the phone numbers of all the offices that we have. And if you'd like that, I'd love to send it to you. It's a large double-sided sheet. You could look at it online, but it's be much more meaningful if we could just send you a copy of it. And if you would like it, you get it one of three ways. You can call our toll-free office number at 1-800-226-3529. That's 1-800-226-3529. You can email me a request at Joe, J-O-E, at attypip.com. That's Joe at attypip.com. Or you can text for it at 727-667-3967. All right, let's go to Jeff in Jacksonville. Hey, Jeff. Jeff, are you there? Oh, all right, Jeff dropped. All right, Jeff, you have a question, call back. I'd be more than glad to talk to you. Your question, actually, when people ask questions on air, there you get the answer. And other people who are listening might learn something that would help them. And I've had many people tell me, you know, I was listening to your show and somebody called in with about this or that. And I was thinking, oh my gosh, I'm in the same boat. Maybe slightly different circumstances. But that answer was just so helpful. It given me a little encouragement to do what I knew I should have done to start with and to take care of it or get something done. Toll-free number, 877-943-9673. 877-943-9673. Phone lines are open. I had a young couple come into the office yesterday, and the only thing they really wanted to change was who the guardian of their minor children would be. So they just had a new child, wanted to make sure that child was covered, and they wanted to the guardian of your child, a minor child, you name who would be in a will. So you nominate a first and secondary choice in a will. And that will is your choice. So the court most always would honor that. Okay, Jeff in Jacksonville's back. Hey, Jeff.
Hey, Joe. How are you?
I'm doing great. And you?
Great. I'm actually a customer of yours. But I had a question for you. I'm on... currently on long-term disability benefit through my employer, through insurance that was provided through my employer. And one of the, I guess, requisites of the long-term benefit that I get, it basically it still replaces a portion of my salary because of my disability.
Mm-hmm.
One of the requisites of the long-term benefits is that I assign any disability income that I would acquire from Social Security to them, and they will offset the amount they pay me monthly by those benefits.
Mm-hmm.
I understand that's not uncommon. My question is, am I better off using a service that they've offered for free to file for my disability through Social Security, or should I hire an attorney? And I understand that they both kind of do the same type of thing if there's a lump sum amount that they can claim in arrears, they take that portion as their fees.
Well,
my question.
Well, I would think I would probably start with the free service, and then okay. If things seem like they're, you could always have an attorney review things along the way, if need be.
Okay.
And then you think that everything sounds proper and that you're satisfied with what the results are, fine. But then if you get a queasy feeling along the way that something's not going right, just have an attorney kind of review it and go over it with you.
All right. Very good. Thank you very much. I appreciate that.
All right.
One more question, if you don't mind.
Sure.
All right. Actually, on the work that you did for me, you set up a simple will and an estate. And one of the things that you asked me to do was to get my bank account put in the name of the trust.
Yes.
When I went to the bank, they had me. They said, "Oh, we've got a beneficiary form that you can sign." And I've been thinking about this. I'm wondering, does that take the place of me actually changing the name of the bank account?
Was this a bank or a credit union?
It's actually a credit union.
All right. Yeah, the reason I asked that, most banks, when you go in and ask that, most banks would just change it to your name, you know, Jeff Trustee, and the date of the trust. Some
right.
credit unions aren't set up that way, so especially some of the federal credit unions are not set up that way, so the best they can do is to make the trust the beneficiary. So I think what you would do, that would be okay. Do you have other accounts, though, that are in the name of the trust? I think it's always good to have some accounts that are in the name of the trust directly, because then the successor trustee can get to it for your benefit if you become incapacitated before death.
Right.
And other things can be the trust could be the beneficiary. But either way, the person you also gave the power of attorney to, I'm sure we did a power of attorney to someone, right? So,
yes.
So that person can access those accounts if they had to. So regardless. So one way or the other, as long as the account winds into the trust, you should probably be fine.
Okay. That's what I needed to know. All right. Thank you so much.
All right, Jeff. Thanks for calling.
Bless you, Joe. Thanks for all you do.
All right. Well, thank you. My pleasure.
Bye-bye.
All right, you're listening to Ask an Attorney All About Florida Law. Again, I'm Attorney Joe Pippin, practicing attorney. If you have a legal question, the law office is open, and we're a little bit over halfway through the show now. So if you have a legal question, you have 22 minutes left, I think, in the show. And if that's, so we'd love to help you if you like to call. 877 is the toll-free number, 877-943-9673. 877-943-9673. So one of the things that I like to do beside my law practice and doing my radio show are all the public speaking arrangements or invitations that I get. I love those. A couple of Wednesday nights ago, I was at a community church in Tampa. So a pastor invited me to come speak about being a good steward and estate planning and so forth. I've got an upcoming event in the next couple of weeks over in Pinellas County at the Indian Rocks Baptist Church, speaking on a Wednesday night. So I enjoy my speaking invites. We do a lot of coffee meetings, at home association meetings. homeowners who have maybe a weekly meeting at their clubhouse, coffee meetings. I do a lot of those, AARP meetings, Kiwanis Rotary Clubs. So I guess I'm saying if you need a speaker for your group, I love doing that. There's no charge. If I'm available in my calendar, I would be there and glad to be there. We arrange. It doesn't matter. I've spoken to groups as few as 10 and done Sunday morning sermons with groups of 5,000. I mean, the size of the group really doesn't matter to me. I enjoy the small groups and the larger groups and the in-between. So if I could be of service to you or your group and be a speaker for your group, all you have to do is to call our toll-free office number, 1-800-226-3529. That's if you want to call the office to arrange that, or if you just want to call the office to make an appointment, here's the number, 1-800-226-3529. We have offices all over Florida. The offices that I go to here in Jacksonville, we have two offices in Pinellas County, two in Hillsborough County, Jacksonville. We also have offices in Polk County and Pasco County, Central Florida. So either myself or one of my attorneys would be more than glad to help you. Let's go to Wendy in Tampa. Hey, Wendy.
Hello.
Hi.
Hi. I'm calling to learn about ladybird deeds and if that's something that we can do to transfer our house.
All right, let me ask you this. Do you have a will or a trust currently?
We have a trust.
All right. So here's my take on that. If you already have a trust, you don't need a ladybird deed because the your deed to your home can be put into the trust to avoid probate. People use ladybird deeds to avoid probate. In some circumstances, they're okay, but if you have a trust, I think that's the better way to do that. Because your main purpose would be to avoid probate, right?
Yes.
One of the differences between the two ways you could go there is if it's in a trust, the successor trustee of your trust could do whatever was necessary with the property while you're living. With a ladybird deed, it's just like a transfer on death deed. Nothing happens until you die before the property is transferred. Suppose you went into long-term care along the way, and you could no longer make financial decisions. Well, your trustee would have the power to sell the property out of the trust. Not that that would be always what would happen, because sometimes homesteads are exempt and you don't sell them because of nursing home and creditor purposes. But I think if you have a trust, I would just keep the property in the trust and not do the ladybird deed would be my advice.
Okay, one more question. We're looking at maybe buying another house. If we do, it would be in my husband and my name. The trust is only in my name. Would it be best after buying the house and closing to put it in the trust or do a ladybird deed?
Well, a lot of people in that circumstance would just do a husband and wife trust and put the deed of the jointly held property in that trust. And then if you happen to have a joint checking account or something like that, other assets held jointly between husband and wife, they would also put those in the joint trust.
So we could do that at the time of closing or after?
Well, if you want to put it in a joint trust, you create that before the closing.
Okay.
But, if you didn't and took the name and took the property in joint names, you could always create the trust afterwards if you wanted to. It would just save you a step to get it done first.
As far as cost, does it make a difference if you do it before or after closing?
No, ma'am. No difference in cost in my office. I can't talk for all attorneys, but... All right.
Okay. Well, appreciate it. Thank you.
All right. Thank you. Let's go to Kathy in Crystal River.
Hi there.
Kathy, what station are you listening to in Crystal River?
107.5.
That's was that a classic rock station?
I'm not sure.
Okay.
I was in the car. My husband had it on, and I happened to hear you, and I have a question. So I just...
All right, well, fine.
You gave
okay.
the number I called.
All right, very good. What can I do for you?
Hi. So my dad, I'm not even sure. I just listened to the previous caller, and there's a test and this and that. I'm not sure. I need to brush up on it all. But my sister just passed, and she was on the will with me. And I was just wondering if her portion of the will, when my dad passes, will go to her husband and son.
Well, you can only tell that from the language in the will. So okay. Now most wills would say 50% to you, 50% to your sister. And then most wills would say if you weren't living, what would happen? And if your sister wasn't living, what would happen? Most of the wills that I prepare and living trust that I prepare have contingent beneficiaries. But most of the time it's not the spouse of, a father. Most likely, I'm thinking just the way I prepare documents, would leave to his daughter. But if his daughter wasn't living, it would be to his grandchildren and not the spouse. Spouses tend to get remarried, and then money runs outside the bloodline. So most times, most people keep it tight to the bloodline instead of in-laws who might get remarried, and no telling where the money would go.
Okay, all right. I just want to, when it happens, I just want things to go smoothly for everybody, because I'm the person that's supposed to take care of all this. I think I've got a lot to look into.
Yeah, your father might look at a trust to avoid probate. Otherwise, the will's going to go through probate if he dies with anything just in his name.
And how would I do that? Through someone like you?
Yes. Yeah, okay. An estate planning attorney would be the one to do that for him.
All right.
You could also send for that poster sheet, and maybe you'll get asked for two of them. Then you have a nice sheet that explains all this to you and what your options are.
I don't know, how do I do that, please?
All right. Well, are you somewhere where you can write down, or you can call our toll free office number and just ask for it if you like?
All right.
So it's 1-800-226-3529.
226-3529. 3529. Thanks so much.
All right.
Great help.
My pleasure. Thank you.
Okay, bye-bye.
Let's go to Ron in Sarasota.
Hello.
Hey, Ron.
Hi, John. Listen, two questions in one. If you have a will and you have someone that will be the executor of the will, and you have a trust, and you also then name someone to be in charge of the trust at your demise.
Mm-hmm.
If that person that you've elected to do that passes away or doesn't want to do that job anymore, what really happens?
All right, well, first of all, when I'm creating a trust or a will, and by the way, it's in Florida, it's personal representative, which is the same as executor, but it's just what the statutes call it. All right, so when I'm doing a will or a trust for a client, I always strongly encourage, and I would say 99% of my documents have a backup trustee and a backup personal representative. So if so-and-so doesn't want to do it, there's always a number two. Sometimes there's a number three. If by some chance a document's created, the way I do my trust is if all the successor trustees or all the personal representatives were deceased or didn't want the job, there is a way in the way I create the document that the beneficiaries can all elect someone else or nominate someone else. And then you have all the beneficiaries just sign something on a trust, for example, that they accept this person as a trustee. And then the person themselves accepts. And then you take all that to the bank after the person dies and present that. And then the bank will allow that person to be the trustee of this trust, pursuant to the language in the trust that allows that procedure to happen.
I see. Okay, well, it makes sense. It's just that, you don't want to just put names down just to have names. You want someone that you can rely on, that you can trust. And at the end of your life, when you're getting, to be in your 90s, let's just say, it becomes more difficult because, you know, people die and you don't have the same ability to look out and see where you can get those kinds of people to help you.
Well, most people, most people doing this, of course, will create have a family member do it. And the family member is also a beneficiary. So usually they're going to readily accept the job so they can get their inheritance. If there are no family members able, then you'd usually ask someone, like people that come in to my office that don't really have a personal representative or trustee in mind, and they want to give their money to charity or something. So we offer that service to clients to be the personal representative or trustee if they don't really have anyone else that they would prefer. Sometimes they want us to do it, too, because they want to give everything outright to one child, and then they have the other child get it over a period of years, so they don't want a family member to be the trustee in the middle of all that. So you know, there are lots of different reasons people choose one trustee or the other to get the job done.
Well, let me ask you one final question. If you were to do the paperwork on all of this, and I said, well, I want Joe Pippin to be the one, mm-hmm. And for whatever reason, years later, you demised or you weren't there, would you then appoint someone, or would it be your law firm, or how would that work?
No, when people asked me to do that, I named the successor to my firm as the backup trustee, who's about half my age.
Okay.
So,
all right. Okay, that makes sense. I got it. Thank you very much.
All right, thank you.
Okay.
All right, let's go to Ben in Bradenton. Hey, Ben.
Hello?
Yes, sir.
Yeah, Joe, I had a question about some insurance.
Mm-hmm.
I was wondering, an insurance company, I had some damage a while back from one of the hurricanes, and I've not gotten probably a proper response from the insurance company, and I'm wondering, do they have a certain amount of time to settle that claim?
Yeah, has this all been in writing, I hope?
Yeah, I don't know what you mean by that, but yeah.
In writing? There's written correspondence that they've received your claim and they're looking
they're
at it.
Oh, yeah, they're not arguing that. We had some discussion on it.
Mm-hmm.
What they did is they actually tried to pay me, and I didn't think it was right or enough. They just kind of sent me a check, and they said, here, take this. And then I called and I asked them about it, and they said, okay, I don't mind taking this check and cashing it so I can get started on the work, but I don't want this to settle the claim. And they said, oh, it won't settle the claim, it's just something to get you going. And I had several people tell me that, and I said, oh, okay, well, if that's the truth, can you just put that in a letter to me, And nobody would do that. So, I didn't cash the check.
What? Okay, how much is the check for?
I don't know, maybe $8,000 or $9,000.
And they didn't ask you to sign a release or anything like that along with the check?
It was a while back. I don't know. I don't remember.
All right, so what I would do, what I would do if I were you, I think, is I'd take the check and the letter to an attorney.
Uh-huh.
And then have the attorneys maybe just write a letter saying that I represent so-and-so, and
well,
I understand.
Well, it's no good now. That's the problem.
Oh, they have to reissue the check.
Yeah, and they wanted to reissue it after I talked to them, and I said, no, I'm not going to accept the check without, something.
Well, listen, have an attorney send the check back and ask for it to be reissued, and in the attorney's letter, the attorney will confirm that this is a partial payment. And the matter hasn't been settled. And maybe also the attorney can help you fully settle the matter with the, once you're dealing with the insurance company.
Well, would that be personal injury?
Is this a personal, property damage claim or personal injury?
Yeah, property.
Property damage. Yeah, a personal injury attorney can do that type of claim for you.
Uh-huh.
Okay, and then it'll be clear. You can negotiate with the personal injury attorney to only take a fee on whatever they get beyond the amount of your check.
I see. Okay.
You have your check, the attorney writes and says, reissue the check. I understand this is a partial amount. And, oh, by the way, I'm ready to settle this case with my client, you know, and have the attorney just call them and get it settled for you.
Oh, okay. All right, but do they have an amount of time to settle that claim? Because it's been going on for a while now.
Well, there might be a statute of limitations, but the trick is to when does that start to run? And a lot of contracts on statute of limitations are 5 years.
Right.
But since you've got some activity on that, this question would be to figure out when the statute started to run. I wouldn't waste any more time with this. I would get with an attorney. You're calling from Bradenton?
Right.
Yeah, I could probably refer someone to you if you want to contact my office that could help you, maybe.
Okay.
All right.
And what number would that be?
Well, Bradenton, I'll give you the 727 number, which is 586-3306.
Okay.
All right.
All right, thank you very much.
All right, thanks, man. All right.
Bye-bye.
All right, you're listening to Ask an Attorney All About Florida Law. Again, I'm Attorney Joe Pippin, practicing attorney. We might have time for one more call if you want to call in. You have a toll-free number, 877-943-9673. That's 877-943-9673. Phone lines are open. If you'd like to contact our office and maybe make an appointment or request the poster sheet, I'm going to give you three ways to do this. I'm going to give you the office number, my email address, and my text number. So whichever way you'd like to use to either call for an appointment or to request the poster sheet, 1-800 is the phone number. 1-800-226-3529. That's 1-800-226-3529. If you'd like to email me, it's just Joe, J-O-E, at attypip.com. That's Joe, J-O-E, at attypip.com. You want to text me, it's 727-667-3967. That's 727-667-3967. And again, if you need a speaker for your group, I love going out doing that. And there's no charge for that. And the toll-free number is 1-800-226-3529. Let's go to Quinn calling.
Hey,
hi. Hey, Quinn, we have less than 2 minutes, so what can I do for you?
Okay. I'm coming on a SSDI, Social Security Disability outcome. It went to, I'm calling actually on behalf of my sister, and she was awarded a favorable decision by the administrative law judge, except the state agency's opinion was opposite, and she's not quite sure is this actually an award for Social Security disability income at this point, or is there a possibility the state now can come back after the final decision? And
well, this is not a final decision.
Well, it says she got her paperwork. It says at the very top that it is a favorable decision.
And who's that issued by?
Social Security Administration.
Okay, and they said it's, what else did they say further?
Okay, at the top it does say notice of decision fully favorable, but the very last paragraph in the paperwork states the state agency's opinion quite obviously does not support the conclusion of disabled. However, the administrative law judge does not find the opinion of the state agency medical consultant persuasive, as it is not supported by the evidence of record described above, but not limited to.
All right, Quinn. I'm going to run out of time here. You're calling from where?
From Tampa.
All right. I have a great Social Security disability attorney in Tampa that can look at that and tell you exactly what it means. If you want to contact my office, I'll be glad to share that with you.
Okay.
All right.
Thank you.
Thank you. All right. Thanks for listening to Ask an Attorney All About Florida Law. Be back next week the same time. Hope you have a safe week. So long.